one hour.
N0TR. My name's Tom. Good afternoon. Or good morning.
Appreciate the response. Name here's Jimmy. Juliet, India, Mike, Yankee. The call is November 4, Yankee Romeo. Yeah, we're Mobile down here in Greenville, South Carolina, and we just installed a new dual band antenna here on the Jeep and thought we would check it out and see if it was up to the expectations.
Jimmy, I'm just sorry to inform you. It's only about an S1 on here, lots of static and all kinds of... Well, no, I'm lying about that. It's beautiful signal. You're full quieting, Jimmy.
Okay, Tom. When you were saying that, I said, uh-oh, I didn't put up my pliers or my screwdrivers. I thought I was going to have to get out here and... start doing some regesting and get the antenna analyzer out. But thank you, sir. Appreciate the roses. You're sounding really good, too, as well. Tom, I'm over in Greenville, South Carolina. I don't know exactly what your QTH is, but we're over here in Greenville, South Carolina. Matter of fact, I got a residence here, and then also I live in Fancy Gap, Virginia. So if you look me up on QRZ, you'll see that my home residence is in Fancy Gap, Virginia there. And but anyway, nice to make your acquaintance.
Well, you too, Jimmy. Pleasure's all mine, sir. We are between Lake Robinson and Lake Cunningham is where our QTH is. And Bernice, my wife here of 55 years as of yesterday, is with me, and we're headed to Aldi's, and she's got a piece of our anniversary cake we're going to give to the lady at the register that I always give a bad time to, kind of like I did you. But Fancy Gap, well, that sounds nice. I've got a problem with my HF rig right now, and I'm ashamed of myself to say I haven't been able to figure it out yet, but put my analyzer on it, and all three of my wire antennas are fine. I have a 265-foot Carolina Windham, and I have a Super Loop, and I have a 160-meter vertical. And I went out and checked those from the antenna switch box out, and they checked good. And I've had trouble with those antenna switch boxes before, and I can't quite figure out, I can't get them apart to repair them. It's a double-sided board in there, but it's mounted with the SO239 sticking through it and riveted in, and so I said to heck with it, and I replaced it, but I did get some info off of it. I put my Fluke 87 on there, and just seeing what the switching done as it switched. Seemed to be all right, but I replaced it anyways, and I'm all stoved up from doing that yesterday. Seems how, Jimmy, I'm 57 years old and dyslexic. I sometimes reverse those numbers accidentally. But I feel like 75 today, Jimmy, after that. It's N0TR.
Well, my goodness. Well, you just a young whippersnapper. On that antenna switching that you've got for your low band antennas, you might want to check if that's a Meritron switcher. I don't know if it's an 8-position switch or if it's a. I think they made an 8 and they made a 5, I believe. I used to run those things a long time ago, and I had a lot of trouble out of the relays. Actually, I went in and had to put new relays into that Meritron switcher. But I don't really like to run those things. But, you know, in some situations when you've got multiple antennas that you're running outside, and you don't want to run all the feed line into the shack, they do service they serve the purpose. But you might want to, if you have any problems on that, you might want to get into that relay. I mean, get into that Meritron switcher, and I'm assuming that's what you got. And you might want to get a little Emery board or something like that, and file those relays on the caps. And I had to do that on mine, and it pretty well straightened it out. But you're just a young whippersnapper. I'm 75. Been into amateur radio since 1966, or QSL.
Roger, in 0TR. Well, Jimmy, you didn't catch my joke on that one. I always tell people I'm 57 and dyslexic, but I'm 75. And my wife here, where she can slap me, see, next to me here, always say she's 47 and dyslexic. shoot. Yeah, most people catch that, but some don't. But, Jimmy, these are printed circuit board relays, and the newest one had lightning arresters in it. So I got in to the last one, and I replaced, it didn't have lightning arresters, and I put those in there, and I do have the printed circuit board relays in stock. They're just 8 amps, whereas my, and it is an Ameritron, you're correct. And it's four position, but it's got another SO239 for where you hook the console in, so I think that's where you got five. But, yeah, I run underground, probably 40 feet over to that box, but some of my antennas are way out back. You'll have to stop by up here sometime and visit us. You're welcome anytime. I'm good on QRZN. And, if I had to run all that coax, so I just put in that vertical not long ago, and it was 250 feet of AMR 400, I think they call it. Anyways, the good stuff. It ain't cheap anymore. Copper's at an all-time high. I looked at 12.2 with ground the other day, and the last box I bought, I think, was $59, and it was $160. Thank you, Mr. Biden. But yeah, I can't polish those contacts. I wouldn't anyways. I just replaced the relays. But, man, I just can't figure out how to get at them.
You know, you can get in there to that relay switch box, and they probably surface mounted on that PCL circuit board. Yeah, I tell you, I guess I've run every kind of configuration, full loop, half loop, German quad, you name it, I've run everything on HF. I used to be a big CW operator back years ago, and but I got into FM repeaters, started billing repeaters, and I don't know, I kind of enjoy it. I really do. By the way, Tom, I put a 6-meter FM repeater over here on Paris Mountain. It's been on the air for a few weeks, and if you got any 6-meter gear, you might want to check it out. If you're interested, I'll give you the frequencies on it. But you know, I don't know. I've always run I've never run a multi-band long wire. I've always cut the antennas to residents, 75 or 80 meters. I always tune it, you know, and I never used, well, I tried a switcher a couple times, and there was a company down in Georgia. I'm sitting here racking my brain trying to think of the name of the company, but they built an antenna switcher back about 30 years ago. And they absolutely were awesome. But They didn't stay in business too long. I don't know why they went out of business, but I had one of their switchers, and you could take and compare them to a Meritron switchers, and there was just no comparements. Everything was, and these things were rated 10 kW too. So I used to run them big old three tubers, those ceramic tubes, and you know the deal on them. N4, why are back to you, sir?
Roger. Well, Jimmy, you got seniority on me there. I've only been an amateur for 30 years, but I could tell by your call sign, and you could probably tell by mine. I've been around a while. There's not too many of those floating around down here, but TR is my name, Tom Rouse, actually, and you can look that up on QRZN. And I had two other friends that had their initials, which is rather rare, but always hung on to that one, and it is a vanity call because I do almost entirely CW. I do some sideband, but right now I'm doing nothing. So I got to figure out if it's a tuner or the coax leading from the house underground for some reason is faulted. But I shorted it out and checked it, and I have a Fluke 87, which is a real good meter, I'm sure you know. And I even took the meter leads out of the circuit by hitting the delta on there, and it still read zero. However, I didn't meg it or anything. I had a megger years ago, a real megger. All I got now is a handheld one, and I'm not too proud of that. It's a China product, you know, China. So I'm not sure, you know. RF's funny to me. I was an electronic technician and electrician on machine tools and stuff of that nature all my life. And I worked from the era of Thyrotrons and using the way through variable frequency drives just as I retired. And, I'm familiar with those ceramics. I never did use them. I had a Drake L4B with the 3500Zs in it, though, and it was a fine amp, but now I got an ALS 1300, and it's been just wonderful. No problems. I had one transistor go out in it one time, and they replaced it for nothing when I first got it. But other than that, it's been great. But I like it. It's got automatic band switching and all that. And for CW, it's just perfect. Because you don't really have to run that much wattage on CW as a general rule, you know. But, that antenna switcher, oh, that's my radar detector, it reverts back to antenna number 4. And I didn't have one, and they were all sealed with that electrical, liquid electrical tape. And I didn't want to move them at the time until I changed it out. And, without power, it reverts back to antenna 4, and I got to thinking about that in the shower last night. That's my best thinking place. And so I'll just leave the power off because it uses 12 volts AC instead of DC. And it reverts back to antenna number 4, so I'll just get there at the station and put the analyzer on it and check it back out. But I put the analyzer on out beyond the antenna switcher, and all three antennas checked really good, and so no problem there. It's one of those ones, those antenna analyzers built over in the Ukraine. But I've had real good luck with it, and it's a real fine analyzer. I don't know there's much warranty on it now. But you're right about those switchers, and I asked the guy at HRO day before yesterday, and it was really nice down there, and got my new one out in one day. And he said that, as far as he knows, nobody else makes them. He was trying to sell me an Alpha Delta, and I said, you're either cheating yourself or you're on the wrong item. I said, I have an Alpha Delta 4-position switch, right behind my HF rig. But I said, I'm talking about an antenna switcher. Oh! And then he caught on. But he didn't know of anybody else that's making them, and I don't either. I think you're correct about that, Jimmy. N4YR, N0TR.
Or N4YR. Okay, Tom. Well, I tell you what, I'm assuming you've got a manual tuner. I'm not commercializing, but I've got a brand new Palstar 3KW tuner that I've got for sale. I'm gonna probably take it to Dayton. Probably take it to Dayton this year and try to sell it. But it's new. I've always, let me ask you this, when you come in from your four-position switch inside of the shack to the Meritron switcher, tell me again what kind of feed line you're running. Now, if you're running LMR 400, there's a burial cable that you can run that eliminates condensation. And but if you don't have that burial cable and you've got it buried under the ground, that could possibly be your problem, a variance in VSWR. But I'm assuming you probably got the LMR 400 burial cable. I have went and put cable in PVC at a 50-foot run or something out to the leg of my tower. And, you know, I've tried everything, Tom, but, you know, I've never had that much success burying cable in PVC or whatever, because condensation can get inside of PVC. I don't care how good you got it sealed. And I tell you, the worst stuff in the world is that cable that come out years ago, RG-213, I'm not sure of it, but that stuff, you could put it up on a tower. Matter of fact, we ordered a 500-foot roll of that stuff, and at the time I had some big Mosley four-element Yagi antennas, bat beams up with some traps in them. And but anyway, I had a piece of cable buried under the ground, and I knew that was going to be a problem, so I put it in PVC. And I'm a John Brown, I still got condensation in that PVC. So that was a big problem for me back years ago when but I'm an old 160 meter buff. I used to stay on 1950 all the time, and I took a 4-to-1 Ballam and built my antenna. I think I cut it. I think the wire length on it was 264, and tied it off with dog bones on each end. And man, that thing was just absolutely awesome. On 160. But anyway, let me ask you this. From the shack out to the Meritron switcher, do you have your cable buried? And tell me what kind of cable it is.
Jimmy, it is, this is NGLTR, it is from DOT Engineering, and it's the equivalent of LMR 400. I'd have to double check that. And it's been there a while, and you're right. You know, no matter what you do, and like I said, I was an electrician 50 years, it's buried in conduit, about a 2-inch or 2.5-inch conduit, plastic conduit. And they do get condensation. Then you drill holes in it so that it can drain that out, but I didn't buy it. I just wanted to make sure it was sealed good. But it has weather heads on each end, and I did notice some condensation several years ago, I think, and I even had the weather heads blocked off. So I opened the weather heads, in other words, where the wires go through underneath, and shouldn't let any rain in or anything, so it would breathe. but I got an extra rope in that I can pull out and check it for condensation. But I've been thinking about that, you know, the dielectric strength of it and all, and might be a problem. Jimmy, I would be very interested in that Palstar tuner. I know they're an expensive tuner. Would you say that's a new one? This is your OTR.
Fine tuner, Tom. It's I bought that tuner probably about 10 years ago. When I say new, it's never been used. I bought it about 10 years ago, and I bought it to I had that, and then I had a couple other tuners, and but that Palstar I've got, it's rated 3 kW, and it's manually tuned. And if you're interested in it, you know, we can, I can be glad to give you my email or phone number, it don't matter. And if you're interested, I can ship it to you, check it out. If you like it, you can pay me. If you don't like it, you can send it back to me. You know, I try to be a straight shooter. But it's a really nice one. It's it's a new one, never been used, and it's got the lights and the meters. It's really nice. And let me say something about. Let repeat a reset. InfoWire. What I would suggest on that cable. And that PVC. Here's what I do. Go out to the Meritron switcher. I'm assuming you got it bolted at the base of your tower. Take it loose. Take the SO239 loose. Screw it into a dummy load. Just get you a dummy load and go back in the shack and get your antenna analyzer or RF meter. I don't know if you're running Dowa or whatever you're running. And check it. And if there's water in that cable, it's going to show up. And if it does show up, then you know that's the culprit. You're going to have to pull that cable out. And you're going to have to go with the LMR-400 burial cable. Now, that burial cable, it works good, lasts a long time. I've used it plenty of times. And but you got to make sure it's the burial cable. Because what they done on the inside of the jacket, they put fun vapor barrier on a part of the jacket. The jacket that's inside of the jacket, condensation can't get in. You might want to check that, but yeah, let me know on that Palstar tuner. I'll be glad to fix you up for a QSL.
This is Gerald T.R. I appreciate it, Jimmy. But when you said manual, that's not what I had in mind. I like the automatic ones, but I've had trouble with these Ameritron 998s, and they got like 32 of them printed circuit board relays on them, but they work like a champ when they work. But yes, I do have a dummy load, and I'll give that a try. I didn't carry it out. It's one of them cantennas, you know. But I have it hooked to that Alpha Delta switch, which is a pricey switch, and I checked it down through that. But I've had this problem for a couple of days, and I can't tell you the results of that. After I got this done yesterday, I was so stoved up from leaning down and over, I was in a great deal of pain. My neighbor even heard me holler once when I got up. He says, that's the same thing I do when I get out of bed of a morning. And he's only 55 years old. But I'll try that, Jimmy. But, gosh, I wish that had been... I was just thinking on that, but last time I looked, those Palstars in the automatic tuner, my friend ND7J had one years ago, but he since bought one of those more pricey power supplies with the antenna tuner in it, of which you can buy a small used car for buying one of those. But I don't need that much power. But what I was thinking of was buying one of their automatic tuners instead of another one of these Ameritron 998. I think Ameritron, I don't know, I've never, you know, the LS 1300 amplifier is a 1200 watt amp, and I just love it. And that's the first thing I did is took the lid off and looked at the solder joints and all of that, and it really looks like it's quality made. And, you know, years ago, Mighty Fine Junk, MFJ, they've improved their game, and they're making better stuff now. But I was giving that some serious thought about buying the Palstar automatic tuner. And the main reason is it uses stepper motors and variable inductors and variable capacitors in there on the stepper motors to tune it. And I think it takes the 1,500 watts straight across it. I just tune from my TS-590SG with 10 watts. And last night when I got done with that, I started to tune it. And it tuned just fine on the frequencies I like for CW. And then after it warmed up about 5 minutes, it's a QRO in Morse code, which means you need more power. And it's never done that. So that kind of threw me a curve when it said that.
You what, Tom, I guess I've got involved in just about every kind of antenna application that you could possibly get into, but like I said, I used to be a very avid CW operator. I'd stayed on CW, oh gosh, for years and years and years. And you know, back in the old days, we had to go down to Atlanta and take our test. You know, when I first became a novice back in '67. But all them days are gone. We used to build our own transmitters, receivers, grounded grid. I never forget, I built a 6-meter AM transceiver, separate units. And at the time, I lived in an area where it had a lot of homes, like a textile mill village. I'd key that thing up and on AM and wipe out every television within a mile and a half. Well, Tom, I've thoroughly enjoyed it, but I need to get out of here and free up the repeater, and then I've got a couple chores that if I don't get to, I am going to be in some deep trouble. So let's pick up this QSO later on, and I got some other ideas I can tell you about troubleshooting that problem you got. And let me say 7-3s, Tom, and it's been a pleasure. And I'll jump on out of here, and we'll do it again real soon. N4YR, you go ahead and put the ribbons on it.
Whiskey Uniform 2 Tango.
Hi, Rusty. I think we're wearing out the repeater, Rusty. It's getting noisy. And I've been sitting here and let the wife go into Aldi's by herself, and I need to get in there pretty quick. Boy, Jimmy, it really has been a pleasure. You're back from the days of the Cole Pitts and the Hartleys and the Armstrongs oscillators and stuff. I had to take my 20 words a minute code test, too, just like you, Jimmy. And I think there still should be a requirement, maybe a little less speed, but there still should be a CW requirement. And I'll probably get a lot of hate mail for saying that, but I think the character fall in certain areas was better for it. And anything you get for free is not worth having, in my opinion. But at any rate, I don't make the rules and don't want to. I just work around that. And I like that lower 25 kc on CW for so many years. We didn't have the type of crap that goes on there now. So I'm sorry to put it that way, but these automatic everything's Anyways, take care, Jimmy, and we'll catch you down the line. N4YR, signed. This is N0TR. Go ahead, Rusty, and then I got to get in there because Bernice is about ready to come out, I think.
So, Jimmy, good to hear you on the air. I haven't talked to you in a while, but this is Whiskey Uniform 2 Tango. You probably recognize me from one of my old calls. But anyway, good morning to you, or good afternoon now. And, Tom, you mean you let Bernice go in there without you watching the pocketbook? She's going to spend all your money.
Yeah, Rusty, she can get whatever she wants. I don't pay much attention. Then I got to go over to Wally Roll and get some push juice here in a minute for the truck. We drove the truck today, which changed from brown to yellow with all the pollen. But I better let you go. Good to hear you, man. I'll catch you in a little bit. W2T in 0TR.
All right, give me a holler when you get home. I'll be here all afternoon, W2T. KC. W2T.
That's the time in TV talk. Jimmy was talking about six majors being in Texeltown. I could tell some stories about my Elmer that was a big 6 meter buff getting on 6 meters at 2 o'clock in the morning. The ladies next door, they must watch TV all night long because they had a fit every time they got on. And but that's on single side, but he was on AMT, I'm sure, off and on. Time up. Hope you and Bernice have a good afternoon. Sorry I didn't get the catch. I want to make sure my signal was okay. I had to reroute some cables and stuff here. I want to make sure I didn't have any AC hum or anything on it.
Yeah, Jerry, nice to hear you. I'll get out here. And I had a friend up in, what was that little town? South of where we lived there. He lived in Missouri. He used to listen to all the baby monitors on 6 meters, and he could tell you some real old jokes there. See you, Jerry. N4DJC and 0TR. Go ahead, Rusty.
All right, Tom. Catch you after a while. And give me a holler, like I said, when you get back on the air. I should be around. And also, what you up to today, Jerry?
I went to Chick-fil-A just to pick up, like you do. So it was pretty good. And the neighbor next door, I know you probably heard me, I've told everybody, I guess, but the neighbor next door built a new house here last summer, and he moved in late, about fall of last year, and he was actually from my hometown. I didn't know it. He's probably about seven years younger than I am, and I didn't know him, but anyway, he moved from Marlboro back over here, and turns out he's a ham. And he had been inactive for a good while. He let his license lapse, and he'd been licensed back in the early 80s, I think, maybe, and then let his license lapse and got his license back now. He's got a vertical out here from one of the 05 verticals, and he's been having packages coming from Diggs Engineering running radios. He's got about 40 radios running now. He's out there. He dug him a hole to put that vertical up, and it's one of these deals that's kind of tuner, some type of, it's not a baller, it's got an unknown, but whatever it is, it's got on there. It looks like a big whip, about 32, 34 feet tall. And you got it dug down the ground, had the concrete in, it's got a fold over deal. And he was out there driving a ground Friday earlier today. I said, what in the world's going on out there? So what was it? And what I said, he had an 8 foot ground rod driving in next to the antenna. He's going to put another one next to the house. I guess he's going to try to reduce some of that noise from that vertical. But I thought it was funny. I said, man, I said, I'm glad I'm not going to go outside because I might have to help him.
Watch those things. They might, he might find a need for assistance out there and they might want you to do it. But, yeah, I had to run out this morning. Had to go. I had an appointment set up to get my pedicure done, so I let them do it because I can't get it done like it's supposed to anymore. And they do a good job for me, and it costs what it is, but it makes me feel better and makes everything better for me. So I've quit pushing, too hard on it and everything. But anyway, sounds like. And then also went and picked me up some. Cat 5, or now it's Cat 6 cable, to run into the computer in the bedroom. Boy, I'll tell you what, now that I'm hooked directly to the input from the coming in from the internet service, boy, my computer speeds went jump, my upload, download speed jumped and everything seems to be running faster, Jerry. Over.
That Eero's wireless, this mine runs that to Wi-Fi 6AC on my computers, but it's still, I mean, I get about, mine's about 330 up, about 330 down, I get about 40 up. But you probably got a gigabyte, I guess. But anyway, mine's cable, and it's a lot faster. I was only getting about 25 for a while, and I couldn't figure it out, and I was on some legacy program that Spectrum had, and I paid about $25 more a month, but it went from like 25 to 300, over 300, so I'm tickled to death of that. But it's definitely better if you've got Ethernet connection direct to the modem. I don't care what anybody says, that Wi-Fi is fast, but the upload speeds seem to be where it lacks on, and when you're running Wi-Fi, and that may be just, I can be 15 feet away from it, and it does okay, but then when you start uploading, that direct connection to the computer makes a big difference, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, my download speed, because I was doing everything Wi-Fi, my download speed was pretty low, even though I had 300 megabits. And I'll tell you what, when I put this, particularly on this one, and I've got so many devices attached, it's going to be slower on mine. But still, my download speed jumped to over 100 megabits. And my upload speed jumped to almost 22 plus megabits. So, that makes things a lot nicer,
They talked me into getting, when I was on Verizon, they tried to talk me into getting a 5G service. And I said, no, I get better than that on Spectrum. It's cheaper. But mine, on my Wi-Fi, I've got the TV. I got a Blu-ray player TV. We got like three or four devices on Wi-Fi, and I got a hotspot on Wi-Fi. See, mine runs around 340 on Wi-Fi down. But after I upgraded my modems from Spectrum, to get a different modem. And that was one of the problems. Plus, I was on that legacy package, and I had to upgrade my TV package, which is fine. I got better coverage anyway, but I got a smart TV, and I just run it. And of course, I've got it hooked up to the cable and also stream it too. So when I need to on certain, YouTube, stuff like that, but it seems to work better for me. And I've got an Apple TV device hooked up to TV, upstairs. It makes it a lot easier. But direct connection, though, by far, I think is best especially if you've got a fixed location where you're not moving around like you've got just a stationary PC. I think that's definitely the way to go. And, I've been buying my Cat 6 cables and that sort of. I've been buying mine from MondoPrice.com. These theirs are a lot cheaper than what some of the other ones are. They got a bunch of different variations instead of buying through Amazon or somebody like that. But that's if you use a lot of cable, they use a lot of connections, and so that's the place to go. Just cheap, and they got real fast shipping too. But I'm a lot more pleased with my internet service after I got that. And my daughter's got. She's got Wi-Fi on her at her location near Malden, but they've got AT&T fiber, and she gets around 600 down, and probably about 150 up. And it is the kids are all streaming stuff all the time. They're just still extremely fast. The neighbor here's got a gigabit, and now he's got all kinds of devices in his house too. I guess W2TN4DJC.
Yeah, well, I've got, I've got a smart TV, and, I've got it hooked up, and I've got, I don't have a DVR or anything, but and I've got a laptop computer, and then I've got a tablet, that I keep on that and all that, so I use that like that, even though I can use the tablet without it, because my iPad is set up so it has its own phone number and all that stuff. But I enjoy having the higher speed now, and it made it nice. So it goes there and it works, and I don't have to worry about it. And like I said, I bought me this cable this morning, and I thought they were high expensive, but I got a Cat 6 cable for a 25-foot cable for $7. So that I thought that was pretty cheap.
You can get them. That's the deal. Yeah, we got a several things. Sometimes I turn things off. You know, I can get through my Wi-Fi on my phone and turn certain devices off that we're not using. Just to, I don't know whether it helps any or not, but I do that from time to time. I've had Charter since we've been here since the early 90s. I've been on Verizon since mid 90s, I guess 94, 95, and they just got so expensive. I got off them. I got Spectrum, Tom got on it. It's like 5G service for $29.95 unlimited data. That's pretty cheap there. And I got two phones on that. I got one of them. One of them is free for a year. That's just too good to pass up. And now I can use my Waze and my maps and that sort of thing. I'm gonna call that. Worry about running over my data caps. Well, I don't use that much, but you know, it is beneficial. But when you buy 5G through these providers, it's kind of a second tier. The Verizon customers get the first tier on the 5G, and then you get the second tier. But it's still awfully good. I never had a. You know, I'm on 5G just about all the time here in town, so it's a pretty good setup. I'm sure they'll go up on it at some point in time. But gosh, I was paying over $130, $140 a month. Two phones with 2 gigs of data, and then one phone was just a flip phone. It's like $147 a month, so they got a long way to go before they get to that for three phones here.
I've got the Spectrum for my cable service, and I went to them, got them when they were able to put it in. They had it running along my road out here, but I couldn't get it for a while, so... when they finally put it where I could get it, then now I've got it, so that works out good, and, it makes it nice to have that, and that's what I've got for service, so, it is what it is. Well, I'm going to go fix me some lunch, because I haven't had any lunch. I've got something in there thawing out, and I'm going to go throw it in the oven and warm it up, and it'll be good for lunch, and something I cooked earlier this week, and... made enough so I could make 3 or 4 days of meals. Anyway, Jerry, I'll talk to you a little bit later. You have a good one. N4DJC, W2T, 73s for now.
Okay, Rush, you have a good afternoon. Maybe catch you a little bit later on. N4DJC, clear.